Were those three different, were those three different people, were those all just different phases of Solomon?
Well, it depends on how you look at the book from a literary perspective. In other words, if I take a step back from the text and I look at it from the perspective of, let's call it the history of the text, then certainly Solomon was writing a personal reflection that was a reflection of the complexity of his own personality and his own experiences. So at the end, you can see much, and we saw this at the very beginning, you can see much of each of these personalities in Shlomo, without question. But from the perspective of the literary process of the text, in other words, when Shlomo wrote the Sefer, I think he wrote each personality as a standalone identity for the purpose of the discussion in Kohelet. Not because that's the way we think. Most people are not so monolithic as to be one philosophy only. Most people are far more complex than that. But if I want to express a philosophy, if I want to challenge, if I want to explore an identity, then from a literary point of view, the simplest way to do that is to take each personality by in and of itself, separate out of it all of the other components, leave each one alone, and then pin the one against the other. What we will see at the end of the Sefer is that he will reintegrate all of them. And the final chapter of the book, which is the speech of the Yirei Elokim, is an attempt to integrate all the personalities together into one. But that's, in a sense, how he concludes. That's the end of the Sefer. Till he gets there, he goes on a journey, taking each one of these personalities, separating them out, and saying, okay, let's explore what the Nehenet looks like by himself. Let's explore what the Amal looks like by himself, what the Chacham and the Yirei Elokim, and what each one looks like by themselves, independent of the influences of the other. In fact, at odds with each other. The psychotherapist could have a field day on what that means for Shlomo's own personality. I leave that to Stuart in his Monday night class. that's why I said you could teach Kohelet. Right? From the perspective of the text, it's a literary technique. I don't think it means that Shlomo really had this kind of split personality. I think that Shlomo was writing this for the purpose of the exercise of the text itself, much as Eov is written with various friends, each one representing a different philosophical perspective, challenging Eov, but each one representing a certain way of looking at the world. And that's what you've got here.
In reality, all of us are really...
Oh, absolutely. Nobody, I would hope, is as black and white as the personalities presented in the Sefer are, because... That's not realistic. We exist as a complex combination of. Well, I'm treading out of my territory, but I think that's true. We are far more complex. But if we were to sit down and write a sort of a philosophical treatise of the various components of our personality, as Shlomo did, then one of the techniques is to isolate each component by itself. And that's what I think you have. All right, which brings us to Perek Zayin. That's what we are up to. I think that's where we left off before our break. Chapter 7. Tov Shem Mishemen Tov V'yom Hamavet Miyom Hivaldo. Good oil, or let's do that again. A name, meaning a good name, the pun between Tov Shem and Shem Tov. A good name, or a name, a positive one, is better, Tov meaning better, than Shem and Tov, than good oil. what the oil means, we'll come back, to. Yom Hamavet miyom hivaldo. And the day of death from the day of birth. What does it mean, the day of death from the day of birth? Or compared to the day of birth, what's missing here? What does this mean? Yom. One of these rites. Let's find out which one. Hamavet miyom hivaldo. One of these rites, I'm not sure which one. Okay. That's not a phrase. The day of death from the day of birth, right? There's a key word missing, namely, right? Better. I'm missing the key phrase and the key word in the phrase. So you have to put it together with the first part, which is Tov Shem Mishemen Tov. Right? Tov, Shem, Mishem, and Tov. Work it through. The word Shem here is a noun. We're comparing Shem, comparing two things. What are we comparing? We're comparing a name, whatever that means, we'll explain a little bit later, to good oil. And the connection between them is the word. No, the connection, the relationship between Shem and Shem and Tov is defined by the word Tov. Then I have a phrase which does the same thing. It compares Yom Hamavet and Yom Hivaldo. But it's missing the Tov. Why? So that is a simple grammatical rule in Biblical Hebrew. It's called, Ibn Ezra refers to it often, it's called Moshech Atzmo V'Acherim Imo. Two phrases in a pasuk, in which one word from the first phrase is carried over into the second. So the real way to read this is Tov Shem Mishem and Tov. A good name is better than good oil. And Yom Hamavet is better than the day of. The Tov applies to both halves of the phrase. That's the grammatical structure of this verse. It is the grammatical structure of the first half of this parak. So once we know it once, we can apply it to every phrase that comes, every verse that comes next. Tov, lechet al beit av evel. Milechet al beit mishte. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting and party. Why? Ba'asher hu sof kol ha'adam. Where that is the end of every man. Ve'achai yiten el libo. And the living take it to heart. Tov ka'as mischok. Anger is better than laughter. Ki beroa panim yitav lev. Because with roa panim means Ruapanim. Sad countenance. Right? Sad countenance. A sad face. Ruapanim. Right? When you see a sad face, Yitav Lev makes for a better heart. Don't ask me to explain anything yet. We will, but we're a long way from it. Lev Chachamim Bevet Evel. Velev Ksilim. The heart of the wise man can be found in the house of mourning, and the heart of the fool can be found in the house of feasting. That goes back to the phrase we had earlier, which is Tov lelechet al beit evel milechet al beit mishteh. Somebody takes to heart, somebody takes the advice of Kohelet that it's better to go to the house of mourning is the Chacham. So therefore, Lev Chachamim, the wise will find themselves where? In the Beit Evo, because that's what we said. Tov lishmoa garat chacham. Me'ish shamea shir ksilim. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than to listen to the songs of the fools. Ki kol hasirim tachat hasir ken schok haksil. Because the laughter of the fool is like the sound of the seer under the seer. What does it mean? Kol hasirim tachat haseer. This is a classic pun. There are many examples of this in Tanakh. It's called alliteration. In Hebrew, lashon nofel al lashon, otherwise known as a biblical pun. Sirim are thorns, or thorn bushes. What do they call it? What do they translate it? Thistles? That's how they translate it? Thistles. Right. How do they translate sirim there?
Thorns.
Thistles. A seer is also a pot. Right? Seer is also a pot. Kol hasirim tachat hasir is the sound of the thorns as they make the fire under the pot that's cooking on them. Now, what is the characteristic of thorns, thistles, if you light them, if you ignite them? They crackle. They make a lot of noise. But they also, they give off some heat. But what's the difference between igniting, making a fire out of thistles or thorns and making a fire out of a log? Doesn't make a lot more noise, but it lasts a lot shorter. Right? So the song of the seal of the fool is like kol hasirim tachat hasir. It's like lighting a fire with thorns or thistles. Makes a lot of noise, but it doesn't last very long. Gamzeh ha'evel. This too is futile. Ki ha'oshek yoholel chacham v'abed et lev matana. That's a very hard pasuk to translate. Oshek is usually translated, how does he translate that in the Koran? Ki ha'oshek yoholel chacham. Oppression makes a wise man mad, not in the sense of anger, but mad in the sense of crazy. V'abed et lev matana. And the matana, the gift, the bribe, can destroy the heart. The question of what this verse is doing here is, and we'll come back to it. Tov acharit davar mereshito. The end of a thing is better than the beginning of the thing. Tov erech ruach mikva ruach. Erech ruach. Erech ruach. Erech means long. Right? Erech ruach. Erech ruach is a very flowery phrase, very flowery Hebrew expression for patience or tolerance. Patience is better. Like Erech HaPayim. Erech HaPayim is slow to anger. Erech Ruach is, it's the opposite of Gvar Ruach. In the context of this verse, Tov Erech Ruach mi Gvar Ruach. Gvar Ruach is Gova Lev, is arrogance. What's the opposite of arrogance? Humility. So Erech Ruach is like somewhere between tolerance and humility. It's always better than arrogance. Al Tivahel Beruchacha Lichos. Do not be quick to be angry. Anger rests in the bosom of fools. Al tomar ma shehaya. Don't speak of that which was. Oh, the good old days. Shehayamim harishonim hayu tovim me'ela. Don't say that the days have gone by were better than the days today. The song, those were the days, my friend? Ki lo mechochma sha'alta al zeh. But that is not the question of a wise man. Tova chokhma im nachala v'yoter l'ro'ei ha'shamash. Wisdom is good together with inheritance. But the advantage goes to the one who sees the sun. Ki b'tzel ha'chokhma b'tzel ha'kasef v'yitron da'at ha'chokhma t'chaye ba'aleha. Another verse which grammatically is a difficult one to translate. In the shadow of wisdom is the shadow of money or of silver, but the advantage of wisdom or of knowledge is that wisdom provides its owner with life. The whole thing is strange. The whole thing is strange. It's all riddle and esoteric sayings. The question is there a theme here? Is there a connection? One we will come back to, but clearly one of the most important questions we have to ask is, first question we always ask is, who's speaking? Re'e et maseha Elokim. Look at the deeds of God. Ki mi yuchal letaken et asher ivto. Who can possibly fix that which he has perverted? Oh, Kohelet gets a lot nervier than that. That's kind compared to where he ends up going. Beyom tova heye betov. On a good day, be good. Uvyom ra'ah, and on a bad day, re'e gam etzel umatzeh asah Elokim. God made both. Al divrat shelo yimtza ha'adam acharav me'uma. With the understanding that man can't possibly understand what's going to come after. I have seen everything in the days of my vanity. I've seen it all. I have seen the righteous destroyed in his righteousness. And I have seen the wicked prolonged his in days of wickedness. Classic issue of Tzadik Virala Rosh Vatovlo, classic issue of theodicy, the righteous is up. His conclusion, Al Tehi Tzadik Arbe, don't be too righteous. Ve'al Titchakam Yoter, and don't be too wise. Lama Tishomim, why should you self-destruct? On the other hand, Al Tirshah Arbe, don't be too wicked either. Al Tehi Sachal, don't be a fool. Lama Tamut Belo Itecha, why should you die young? Hence the adage, crime doesn't pay. Tova Shetechoz Bazeh V'gamizeh Al Tanachet Yedecha. What's good is to embrace this and not let go of that. Meaning, a little bit of, what are the two sides of that equation? A little bit of righteousness and a little bit of wickedness. Combine it all mixed together and you get the right formula. The one who fears God, that's what will emerge from such a mixture. Wisdom will provide the wise with strength, more than 10 officers in the city. There is no man who is so good in the world that he does not sin. And as far as everything that people are saying, Al titen libecha, don't let your heart pay any attention to what they have to say. So that you should not hear your own servant curse you. Because you know in your heart that on more than one occasion, you were the one who cursed others. Now it gets fun. Kozen isiti b'chokma. All this I tried in wisdom. Amarti echkama vehiro chokami meni. I said I would become wise, but wisdom is too far from me. Rachok mashiaya. Amok amok miimzenu. It's distant. It's far away. It's deep. It's deep. Who can possibly find it? Saboti ani v'libi ladat v'latur. I turned and I went and I searched my heart to understand, to seek wisdom and understanding. And to understand the wickedness of the fool, and to understand foolishness and folly. And after all of my searching, what did I find? I found worse than death, woman, who was a trap and a snare. Tov lifnei Elokim yimalet mimena, bechote yilached ba. The wise, the one who is good before God, will escape her grasp, and the sinner will be trapped by her. Reize matzati amra Kohelet. This I have found, says Kohelet. Echat lachat limso cheshbon, adding one to one to figure it all out. Ashod bikshan nefshi v'lo matzati, my heart searched and I could not find. Adam echad me'elef matzati. One man or one in a thousand. V'isha b'chol eile lo matzati. But amongst a thousand men, I could not find a single woman. Levad re'eze matzati. This alone I found. Asher asah ha'elokim et ha'adam yashah. V'hema b'kshu chishbonot rabim. I found only that man, that God made man straight. And it is man who has sought his own calculations. Okay. Anybody want to venture a guess at who's speaking here? The Chacham is speaking certainly where? Where do you see the Chacham? Follow it through.
Just in general, it's something with wisdom or some of man's thought, maybe you could come find some meaning.
What is the basic theme of this parak? You have to sum it up in one word. What word appears in this parak more than any other? Two words, actually. Two key words. Milot manche. Mancha. Two key words. Tov appears at least 12 times in the course of the parak, and Chochma. Clearly, from that perspective, the subject of this parak is an attempt by the one who professes an ideology of Chochma to investigate the meaning of Tov, which is at its core the question with which Sefer Kohelet struggles. Eize Tov la'adam asher yaseh tachat ha'shemesh. What is the good that man should do under the sun? That's the question with which the Sefer began. If you remember our discussion of the two trees, the Eitz Hadaat and the Eitz HaChaim, the first tree was Tov Vera, the second tree is Chaim V'Mavet. We'll come back to the second tree shortly. The first tree of Tov and Ra was essentially the end of the first half of the sefer. What was the last verse of Perek Vav? Pasuk Yud Bet. At the last sentence of the previous chapter, Mi yodeya ma tov la'adam b'chayim mispa yemei chayei havlo. Who knows what is the good that man should do in his life all of the days of his futile existence that go like the shadow v'yasem katzel? Asher mi yagid l'adam maya acharav, who is going to tell man what his future holds? The second half of the first half of the book ends with a question. Mi yodea ma tov, who knows what is good? How does the second half of the book open? Tov, shem yishem and tov, tov yomim avet miyomim avado. Good, you want to know what good is? I'll give you a whole list. Meaning, this chapter is coming to attempt to answer the question with which the previous chapter ended. I asked a question. Mi yodea. Suddenly somebody comes up with an answer. Ani yodea. I know what the answer is. Tov. You want to know what tov is? Isn't that? Tov mi shem mi shem tov yom mavet mi yom ivado tov achrita v'amireshi tov. You have a whole list of things that are tov, if that's what you're looking for. So clearly the author of this parak, or the identity of this parak, is coming to answer the question that was asked at the end of the previous chapter, and he does so through a professing a loyalty to a concept called Chochmah. Now, we have not explored this concept yet. We have not encountered Chochmah as a identity in this Sefer. We have seen the Amal. We know the Amal well. We know how he thinks, how he looks at the world, what the variables that make him tick are. We've seen the Nehenah. We know how he thinks. We know what makes him tick. We've seen part of the Arei Elokim. We haven't seen the Chacham. This is our first inkling. This is our first view of the worldview of, the first encounter with the worldview of the Chacham. And clearly it is the Chacham if you look at all the verses that talk about the Chacham. Lev Chachamim Bevet Evel. Verse 4. Verse 5. Tov Lishmo Garat Chacham. It's good to hear the rebuke of the Chacham. Verse 10. Lo Mechochma She'alta Alze. Such a question is not asked out of wisdom. Verse 11. Tova Chochma Im Nachala. Wisdom compared to inheritance. The advantage goes to Ro'ei HaShemesh, the sun, wisdom, understanding, enlightenment. This whole parak certainly reflects the notion of the Chacham, at least up until a point. Why up until a point? There is a critical transition in this parak that I've read. Where is that transition? And you can identify transitions in a number of different ways. Don't forget the transitions in Kohelet can be reflections of change of topic, change of subject matter or identity of speaker, but the indication of a change is often reflected in the change of the form of speech.
There's a reference to Yirei
Elokim. There's a few references to Yirei Elokim. We'll talk about why a little bit later. The references to Yirei Elokim, I don't think, are indications that the Yirei Elokim is speaking there. But what textual indication is there that there's a change in speaker at some point? Where? Yeah, well, I'm not at chapter 8. I'm looking within chapter 7. Give me your verse number. That's, I think, the clearest indication. Verse 23. All of this I attempted in wisdom. I thought I could become wise, but it is too far from me. What about that verse tells me that there's a critical transition taking place? Change of person. From? Not really. A little bit. Right. Okay, a little bit. But not as profoundly here. Because he's still giving the continuation of that section is still written in second person. This chapter is in second person. It's the first chapter we've seen in the book that's in second person. He's speaking to? He's speaking to you. He's talking directly at you. He's not looking at the world in third person as the Nehenah did, and he's not looking at the world in first person as the Amal did. This speaker is speaking at, firstly speaking at you, he's giving advice. Tov asher tochaz mizeh v'al tonach itocha mizeh. Grab hold of this. Excuse me? Yeah, that's the transition. That's the transition to first person. Calls only siti b'chokhma, I tried in wisdom, that's already a transition to first person. So that's a snap, that's a jump. Number one. Number two, took a look at the content of that verse. What does that verse say? That verse is a negation of wisdom. You could integrate all the personalities of Kohelet into one, but for the sake of the text, I'm going to work with the assumption that if one philosophy has failed and we've moved to another philosophy, we've changed speakers for a moment, for the sake of argument. But kol zo nisiti b'chokhma, this is wisdom, and I've tried it, and I reject it, that already is a different approach. Whether it's the same person who's changed his mind or a different approach altogether remains to be discussed, but certainly I think that's a critical transition. If you look at verse 24 or 25, Pasuk of Hey, Sabot yani v'libi ladat v'latur v'akesh chokhma v'cheshbon v'ladat v'shekesel, I sought and I tried to understand and I tried to seek and I tried to clear, to understand. Umotzeani, what did he find? Ma'ami mavet et ha'isha. He didn't find wisdom, he found, right, he found that woman is a fate worse than death. How that non-sequitur statement fits into the rest of this parak is a subject of discussion. I will leave that for a different night. We'll not get to that tonight. Guaranteed. I think you need to invite all the women in the shul to that lecture first. We'll get to it. But suffice it to say that I will already tip the secret, or let the secret out of the bag, that verse is articulated by the Yirei Elokim. The second half of this parak is the Yirei Elokim. Why I say that, how I can get away with making such an astounding statement, Bezrat Hashem, we will get to that piece of it, if not next week, then the week after. There's a lot to be said about that verse. That verse is a critical piece in Kohelet. He's talking about a Yirei Elokim in Yud Gimel. I don't think, however, that the Yirei Elokim is speaking in Yud Gimel. I don't see any way that the Yirei Elokim can say, Al tehi tzadik harbe. Don't be too righteous. Why should you self-destruct? I can't see that in the vernacular of the Yirei Elokim with any possibility. You understand that Yud Gimel transitions in a few verses into verse 16, Al tehi tzadik harbe, al tidchakam yoter, lama tishomeh. Right? Or verse 15, Yesh tzadik oved b'tzidko v'yesh rasha marich b'ra'ato, tzadik b'ra'lo, the righteous suffering, the wicked prospering. That's not the vernacular of the Yirei Elokim. But Yirei Elokim could never say that. That's a challenge to Yirei Elokim. That's a challenge posed by the Chacham. It's a challenge posed by the Nehenet. It is not possible in the worldview of the Yirei Elokim.
If it's not a change there, he's actually contradicting himself in those circumstances. On the one hand, he says the righteous don't necessarily live long, the evildoers do, but then he said, well, why die before your time? So don't be too wicked.
Right.
So you can't have it both ways.
Sure you can. You want to hedge your bets? A little bit of this and a little bit of that. That's exactly his point. Is it true that if too much wickedness is likely to get you an early grave? Anybody here in life insurance? Would you sell a life insurance policy to a member of the mafia? Would you? No, right? Because crime doesn't pay. On the other hand, how many people do we know who a life of spirituality they're not leading, but they're enjoying themselves? So there's a little bit of this and a little bit of that in this world. So, okay, so hedge your bets a little bit. That's essentially what he's saying. But that's certainly not something that I can see the Yirei Elokim articulating. Yeah?
I have a question about verse 25, which at least in the English seems a little confusing.
I don't want to do anything past verse 22. Because that takes us into the domain of the Yirei Elokim, and I'm not prepared yet to go there. Is that fair? You'll have to come back. You'll have to figure out what to do with your class conflict, and just have to come back, and we'll deal with it. So clearly, we are working with the assumption that this parak is the, at least up until verse 22. Is the domain of the Chacham. The Chacham is a new personality. We haven't seen him yet. We've seen the other three. This is a new ball game. And what I want to do now is take a look at the Chacham on two levels. Number one, we're going to go back and reread the section piece by piece. And as we go through it, you have to, the question that I want to ask is, I now know who's speaking. Once we're this far into the book, we have to always ask ourselves a second question, which is, say it louder, who is he speaking to? Or whom is he speaking to? That's the second question we have to ask. And that changes everything. Once we know not only who's speaking, but whom he's speaking to, then we can already plug the pieces in to see what his philosophy is all about. And this particular paragraph is a very powerful one to do that with, because it's very structured. So let's go back and do it piece by piece and see if we can figure out whom he is speaking to. Or to whom he is he speaking. Tov shem mishemen tov v'yom hamavet miyom hivaldo. Without getting into the issue of the oil, day of death is better than the day of birth. Tov lelechad abet evo milechad abet mishte. Better to go to a house of mourning than to the house of feasting. For that is the end of every man, and the living take it to heart. Tov kas mischok. Anger is better than laughter. Lev chachamim bevet evel. The wise find themselves in the house of mourning. Lev ksilim bevet simcha. The fool is in the house of laughter and frivolity. Tov lishmo garat chacham mi ish shomea shir ksilim. Better to hear the rebuke of the wise than the song of the fool. For the fool makes a lot of noise but doesn't last very long. Oppression will make the wise mad. That's the one verse in this thing, in this paragraph, I'm not quite sure what to do with. Tov acharit davar mereshito. The end of a thing is better than the beginning. Tov erech ruach mikvar ruach. All right, let's leave that last verse for a second. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to the Nehene. Why?
Nehene wants to enjoy life.
Simcha is the calling card of the Nehene. Simcha, mishte, the calling card of the Nehene is the feasting, the eating, the celebration. To which the Chacham said, if your life looks like a life filled with feasts and frivolous joy, my answer to you is, go pay a visit. Go pay a visit to a Beit Evel. Put life in perspective for a minute. I'd rather be, says the Chacham, in a Beit Evel. There's a reality there. It's a reality that hits you strongly, but it's a reality. Rather than in the house of the Mishteh. The Mishteh sounds good. It feels good. Makes a lot of noise. Like the sounds of the thorns under the sear. Feels great for the moment. But when the wine wears off, all you get is a headache. How long lived is that? But the living you take to heart the reality of the world we live in, that's already a different philosophy. That's the Chacham. And the Chacham, I think, is directed specifically at the Nehene. I'll come back to that in a moment. We'll fine-tune it. Let's go a few more verses. Tov erech ruach migvar ruach. Patience, humility is better than arrogance. Al tivahel beruchah chalichos. Do not be quick to be angry. Is he talking to the Nehene here? How do I know? Because the Nehene was never angry. Correct. The Nehene can't be angry. Why can't the Nehene be angry? Because he's not in control of the world. Who's in control of the world? God. So the Nehene has nothing to be angry about. Who's angry? The Amal. The Amal was very angry. You feel the anger of the Amal throughout the first half of the book. The Amal is the one who says over and over again, I'd rather not be born. if that's the kind of world we live in. Dimata Ashukim, the tear of the oppressed. Rather, Tov Mimenu Anefil, the stillborn, better than the one who has to live through with this world. Better not to be Tov Mishnehemet Asher Aden Lohaya, better not to be born at all than to be born and go through this futile life. There's a lot of pent up anger in the Amma. So when the Chacham starts talking about anger and anger management, then he's talking to the Amma. Kikas Pechek Ksili Menuach. Anger rests in the bosom of fools. The world of the Chacham, anybody who's not a Chacham is a fool. Notice that he's labeled the Nehneh Aksil, and now he's labeled the Amal Aksil. The ultimate Aksil will be the Yirei Elokim, not to worry, we'll get there too. Anybody who's not a Chacham, by definition, is a Aksil. Al tamar mashaya shayamim arishanim ayutovim me'ele. Don't bemoan the days gone by, the good old days. Right? That's an amal. An amal's yearning for the good days, for success and achievement. That's not a question born of wisdom. Wisdom, together with nachala, with inheritance, is very good. It's good when you can have lots of money and spend your time engaged in intellectual pursuits. Reality doesn't work that way. For most of us, have to work for a living, or we spend our lives in the ivory tower. Right? One or the other. So if you had to choose your ter, the taron, the advantage goes to Ro'e HaShamash, the one who sees the sun. And the sun in Kohelet is always a reference to wisdom. Ki b'tzal ha-chokhma b'tzal ha-kasef b'yitron da'at ha-chokhma t'chaye ba'alea. Silver, coin, money lives in the shadow of wisdom. And the advantage is always to knowledge and wisdom. Re'et maseh Elokim. What's left in this world is to look at the deeds of God. What has God created in this world? Go examine those worlds. Re'et maseh Elokim. The world was created by God, correct? What's my job? What's my task? If I'm the Chacham, what's my task? Two? What is the Chacham? What's the calling card of the Chacham? What is he doing? He wants to understand. He wants to try to philosophize, try to explore. Re'ei et maseh Elokim. Look at the deeds of God. Look at the creation of the world that God has made. That's my job. I'm the Chacham. And what's my conclusion? Correct. And what's my conclusion? My conclusion is ki mi yuchal letaken et asher ivto, because who can fix that which he perverted? Who's the he in that phrase? Say it. God. Right? God has made an ivut. An ivut is that which is crooked, that which is broken. Correct. There is a fundamental flaw in this world that is unfixable. And therefore, the only conclusion is to look, examine, understand, see. But you can't change it. Because, mi yuchal letaken et asher ivto, you think you're going to fix that which God has made crooked, that which God has made by mistake? You're going to fix God's error? It's pretty presumptuous to think that you can fix God's error. Maybe. This is the Chacham. This is the Chacham. Do not make the mistake of thinking that the Chacham is the Yirei Elokim. The Chacham is not the Yirei Elokim. The Chacham is the Chacham. What we will explore in that shir that I'm holding off on, which is the shir about the fate worse than death, what we will explore there is the fundamental difference between the Chacham and the Yirei Elokim. They're both philosophers in a certain sense, but they are fundamentally different. And the Chacham can come to conclusions that the Yirei Elokim could never come to in a billion years. And so you have to be very careful. Don't confuse them into thinking. Don't make them the error of thinking that the Chacham is somebody we identify with or that we consider like the Yirei Elokim. The Chacham in Kohelet is very different than the Chacham in Mishlei or the Chacham in Shir HaShirim or the Chacham in terms of our general attitude towards Chochmah, like Chazal and Chachamenu Zichronam Livracha. Very different word. We have to... hold off to the conclusions for a second, but you're correct. You're drawing the conclusion of the whole parak. I want to come back to it first. I first want to see the end of this section, who he's speaking to. B'yom tova heye b'tov, v'yom ra'ar ei gam et zeh l'umat zeh asa alokim, al divrat shelo yimtza ha'adam acharav ma'uma. On a good day be good, on a bad day be bad. Everything is, ultimately, God has made the whole world, a little bit of good and a little bit of bad, in such a way that you can see that which will come afterwards. That is a specific rebuke to the Chacham, to the Amal. Why? That statement that you can see what comes after you, so take what you see right now and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. That's a direct attack on the Amal. Why? The Amal's driven by a goal, namely, not only to fix the world, but also to see at the future and to be able to make the prediction of what the future holds. Look at the last sentence of Perek Vav. I go back to that verse that with which the Amal essentially wrote himself out of the text. Mi yodea matov l'adam b'chayim, who knows what is the good that man must do in his life? Mi yagid la'adam ma yiyah acharav. Who is going to tell man what his future holds? That's the driving force of the Amal. And to that, the Chacham says, God has made this world in such a way, shelo yimtza ha'adam acharav ma'uma, that man can't possibly know what comes after him. So your search for a formula that will lead to a future that you can predict and control and create is a futile search, because we have no way of knowing what the future is going to hold. So up until now, he's speaking to the first part. He was talking to the Nene, and this part he's talking to the Amma. Now, verse 15. Et hakol ra'iti b'imei hevli. I saw everything in my days of futility. Yesh tzadik oved b'tzidko v'yesh rasha marich b'ra'ato. Righteous that self-destruct, and wicked that preserve their wickedness for years to come. Therefore, al titzadik arbe, al titzadik. Chakam yutel amati shomem, don't be too righteous, don't be too wise. Why should you self-destruct? Don't be too wicked, don't be a fool. Why should you die before your time? A little bit of evil, a little bit of tzidkus, a little bit of rishus. Such is the picture of the Yirei Elokim. Who's he speaking to? Who's he speaking to? This one's obvious. No, this one should be obvious. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to the Yirei Elokim. It's a direct attack on the Yirei Elokim. Says, you want to talk about being a tzaddik? What for? What's it going to get you in life? Oh, okay, you accuse me of being a Russian. No, listen. A little dose of reality is important too. A little bit of riches, a little bit of tzitzit. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, put it all together. Great philosophy of mediocrity, and you'll get through life perfectly. Right? And then he says, Yirei Elokim Yetzeh Kulam. That's how you become a Yirei Elokim. That's how you become a Yirei Elokim, which is a real cynical, biting jive. Ha-chokhma, he says. Ta'oz le-chacham mi-asara shalitim asher yivayim. You want to understand what brings you strength in this world? What will protect you in this world? It's not going to be tzidkus, guarantee. You want to be protected in this world? You need chokhma. You need wisdom. You need to understand this world. Don't give me this business that everybody should be righteous. I know the world very well. And in this world, everybody's a little bit of a Russian. Nobody doesn't sin. Give me a break. You know what? All of these things people say, don't pay any attention. Because if you listen, you don't want to hear your own servant curse you. Right? You want to live in a little tiny little bubble where everybody's perfect and everybody's good and everybody's righteous and everybody. Right? If you go out of that little bubble for even a second, what are you going to find? You're going to find that your own servant can curse you. That's called stabbing you in the back. Your servant is the one who should owe you his greatest loyalty. It's your servant. Your own servant to curse you? It's terrible. Cynicism is only his conclusion. Chacham is a function of the methodology. The Amal, the Ne'eneh, and the Chacham reflect their methodology. They don't necessarily reflect their conclusions. It's the methodology that identifies each of our personalities. What the Chacham's methodology is, we have yet to see. But that's his calling card. His calling card is not his conclusion. His calling card is his methodology. He'll change his conclusions. Here he'll have one conclusion, in chapter 8 or 9 he'll have a completely different set of conclusions. But the common denominator between both prakim are his methodology. And why is it, he says to his righteous friend, why is it that he is so convinced that the Yirei Elokim should be very careful? If he steps out of his bubble, he's going to get hurt. You want to live in your little bubble, that's great. But the moment you step out of your bubble, you're going to hear things that you don't want to hear. Because isolated in your little bubble, right, it's like the immune system. Right? The immune system goes stronger because when it gets exposed to not so nice things. Right? You live in your ivory tower, in your little bubble of tzidkus, so it's very nice, but you never learn to immunize yourself to the realities of the world around you. The moment you step out of that bubble, you're going to find yourself hurt because things in this world don't always go the way the righteous think they should go. There are things like servants who curse their masters. The world view of the Yirei Elokim, that should never happen. Everybody should be perfect. But the reality is, people aren't always perfect. Adam ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov lo yachta. You know what? Not only are other people not perfect, but you're not perfect either. I hate to break it to you, Yirei Elokim. My dear friend, put my arm around your shoulders. You ain't perfect either. How many times have you cursed somebody? How many times have you spoken Lashon Hara about somebody? How many times have you? Do it yourself too. So don't be a hypocrite. Don't give me it. And therefore, the conclusion is that you learn to live with the realities of the world a little bit. A little bit of righteousness and a little bit of wickedness will do you much better than this kind of ideological bubble that you think you live in. Okay, that's our Chacham. So what do we have with our Chacham? Who is he and what is he? We'll go back to the very opening phrase. I've ignored this phrase for the large part. It's a very telling phrase. I want to understand it. Tov shem mishem en tov. What are we talking about? A good name is better than good oil. What are we talking about?
Some hint here that oil preserves the body.
Oil preserves the body in ointment of some kind. Yes, I've seen that in the Perishim as well. Possibility. And I don't deny that it's a possibility. But I'll show you another possibility. I'm bothered by the lack of symmetry in these two phrases. Especially because the speech of the Yirei Elokim, the speech of the Chacham to the Nehenah ends with a very clear statement. Pasuk Chet. Tov acharit davar mireshito. The end of the thing is better than its beginning. The second half of this phrase, by the way, Tov Erech Ruach Migvar Ruach, the second half of this pasuk is the beginning of his speech to the Amal. And here we start talking about patience, humility versus anger. That's already an address to the Amal. He switches from his address to the Chacham, to the Nehenet, to his address to the Amal mid-sentence. How do I know that? I know that for two reasons. Number one, I know it because of the content. But there's a textual giveaway that this phrase is actually two separate parts. The textual giveaway is the repetition of the word Tov. Very good. Excellent. It doesn't have the same symmetry as the first half. The first verse, Tov, Shem, Yishem, and Tov. V'yom ha-mavet, miyom ha-valdo. I carry the Tov with me every time. This verse, Tov, Acharit Tavam Mireshito. And then I repeat it, Tov, Erech Ruach Migvar Ruach. What do I need the second Tov for? It's a new phrase, new concept. So now, going back to the first half by itself, Tov, Acharit Tavam Mireshito. What am I talking about? Tov, Lelechat Lebet Evel, Milechat Abet Mishteh. Fundamentally, this chapter deals with the contrast between death and frivolity or life, the enjoyment of the moment. Tov Acharit Davar Mireshito, the end of the thing referring to death. The beginning of the thing, life. Beit Evel, death. Beit Mishteh, life. Yom Hamavet, Miyom Yivaldo. So where did Shem and Shem and Tov come into the picture? Right? So take a look at something very interesting. Take a look at Yechezkel Perek Tet Zayin. I'll show you an interesting phrase. Perek Tet Zayin, verse 16. Chapter 16. Oh, that's a good question. Chapter 16, Tet Zayin, Pasuk. Well, let me tell you what this parak is all about. This parak actually is somewhat familiar to us because we quote from it every year at the Pesach Seder. V'avo alach v'erech mitbosesta b'damayach v'om alach b'damayach chayi v'om alach b'damayach chayi. It's a pasuk we say in the Haggadah. It comes from this parak. Perek is a description of Bnei Yisrael and Yitziat Mitzrayim, but it's a metaphor. And in the metaphor, Bnei Yisrael are described as an infant baby cast away and abandoned in the fields. And God finds the baby, nurtures it, provides it protection, and ultimately, as the child grows, enters into a covenantal relationship with this child. Right? That's the context of the parak, the metaphor about Yitziat Mitzrayim. Verse 4. Umoltotayich biyom huledot otach. In your birth, in the day that you were born, lo karat sharechu v'mayim lo ruchatzt limish'i. The umbilical cord wasn't cut. You were just born and then abandoned. V'lo ruchatzt limish'i. You were not washed. When a baby is born, baby has to be washed, but this baby was abandoned The moment it was born, it was cast aside. Be'amlech lo humlacht. It was not salted. In the ancient times, it was practiced to salt the skin of a newborn baby, right? To absorb all the moisture that's part of the birth process. Be'achtelo chutalt. Be'achtelo chutalt. How do they translate that? How do they translate that? Excuse me?
Swaddled.
Swaddled. You were not swaddled. L'chas alayich ayin. No eye paid attention to you. L'asot lach achat me'el l'chumla alayich. Not to do any of those things which are standard procedure for a newborn. But tushlechi apnei asadeh b'go'al nafshech b'yom uledototach. You were cast upon the fields in the abomination of your soul. I saw you, I came, I said, in your blood, through which you are literally drowning, in your blood you shall live. You will grow and you will, like a flower in the field, Shadaim, you will grow breasts, you will mature. Verse 8. Havoy alayach v'erech v'ine itech et dodim. Efros knafi alayach, I took my cloak and I cast it upon you. Echaseh ervatech, I covered your nakedness. V'shavalach, and I made an oath to you. V'vo bevititach, and I made a covenant with you. Now, take a look back at verse 9. Let's go back to this little baby that's lying in the field, drowning in its own blood, unwashed, unclean. I washed you with water. And I washed off the blood from you. And I anointed you with oil. Why? Because a newborn baby, when the baby is born, after you wash off the blood from the birth process, the skin is all dry. What do you do with the newborn? You bathe the baby, you wash the baby, and then you smear the baby's skin with baby oil. Because it's all dry and shriveled. It's been 9 months in water. In that context, Tov Shem, Mishemen Tov, Yom Mavet, Miyom Yivaldo, The Shem Tov, as most of the Mephoshim say, could very easily be referring to the reputation that a person has achieved in this world, in contrast to the superficial oil with which a baby is anointed, a newborn. Yom HaMavet, Yom Yivaldo. And what the Perek sets before us from the very opening phrase is a challenge. What challenge? What issue is he struggling with? Is all of our personalities of Kohelet struggling with? And the Areel and the Chacham turns to the Neheneh and he says, look it squarely in the eye. Don't ignore it. What's the it? Death. The Chacham turns to the Neheneh and he says, you, my friend, have spent your entire philosophical and ideological framework around ignoring the concept of death. What are you going to you spend your life enjoying the ride for a moment? That's your philosophy? God made everything in this world. God determines the course of actions in this world. God determines the timetable, and therefore the only thing I can do is enjoy the ride. What kind of a meaningful life is that? Ignore death? Look death squarely in the eye. It exists. Go visit a house of mourning. Go visit a bereaved child. And tell me that death is irrelevant. To the Neheneh, death was an irrelevancy. And the Chacham turns to the Neheneh and says, get real. Death is not irrelevant. Death is very much a part of the world we live in. And you're going to have to figure out a way to take that to heart, to recognize that. Because the philosophy of the Beit Mishteh is an illusion. It's an illusion. It's not real. I'd rather have a dose of reality, even of the Beit Evel, than a life of an illusion. That's what the Chacham says. Look at the world around us, realistically, with open eyes. Don't color it with philosophies that don't match the reality in which we live. Look at the world realistically and tell me that this world is a feast. Honestly, truthfully, can you really believe, do you really believe that this world is simply one big drink fest?
He's saying the day of death is better than the day of you were born. That's more than, as we get about the Beit Mishpat, he's saying the day, that's more than that. That's either that or it's an exaggeration.
I think it's an exaggeration to some extent to make a point, because ultimately this is the key phrase in this parak. In other words, it's a reality check. The Nehneh developed an entire philosophy that said death is irrelevant. And he even said so. He says, the end of Perek, take a look at the end of Perek Gimel. I've seen that there's nothing better to do for man to do than to enjoy his deeds. For what can bring man to see what will come after him? In other words, I don't see death. And if I don't see death, it becomes not relevant to my worldview. My worldview is the here and now. So there comes along the Chacham and says to him, you want to see death? Take my hand, I'll show it to you. Come with me. Take a visit. We'll pay a shiva call. I mean, it's not relevant. How can you live like that? So to the Nene, it's a very simple rebuke. The rebuke is you're living an illusion. The Nene created an entire philosophy around death, which was directed, which is based upon the notion that it is irrelevant. The only thing that matters is the world I live in. And the Chacham said, not only is it not irrelevant, from your perspective, it's the only thing that is relevant. Then he turned his sights on the Amal.
Question, though?
Yeah.
Then I can turn it back on and say, frankly, it is irrelevant to me until it happens to me. When it happens to me, it really is irrelevant because I can't do anything about it and my party days are over. So pass the wine.
Yeah.
I mean, he can just turn it around.
He can.
Right.
He can.
Be depressed. I choose to not be. It's
This is a different kind of debate than what you are used to. We're used to a debate in which each side is trying to convince the other. Kohelet's not trying to convince each other. They're trying to understand the consequences of each philosophical viewpoint. In other words, what makes the Nehneh is his ability to ignore death and to look only at the here and now. What makes the Chacham is his intense need to look at the reality of the world around us and to paint the picture that matches reality and not some false ideological, idealistic world. The Nehneh is trying to maximalize the human being. He's trying to essentially get out of this world with the maximum that I can get out of this world for my own personal pleasure. The Amal is the exact opposite. The Amal is trying to maximize the world. He's trying to change the world and make something good out of this world, make something perfect out of this world. They're both, in a sense, perfectionists. The Chacham is not a perfectionist. The Chacham is a realist. That what makes the Chacham who he is his ability to look at the world and say, it's got to match a reality. I can't ignore what I see around me. The Nene is perfectly capable of ignoring that which is not relevant to his life. That's what makes the Nene and the Chacham the Chacham. They're not trying to convince each other. In a sense, they're jibing at each other, but they're not going to win the debate by convincing each other to the truth of their own position. The only one who has to do that is the Yirei Elokim. And he's the end of the book, so we have a long way to go. But it's a different kind of debate than what we're used to. Because there's certainly an answer to every one of these accusations. Then he turns his sights on the Amal. And what does he say to the Amal? What's his basic message to the Amal? Don't be so angry. Don't be so angry. Yamal was angry all the time. And the Chacham says to the Yamal, don't be so angry. A little bit of humility would do you some good. Tov erech ruach mikvar ruach. What makes the Yamal angry? What makes anybody angry? Anger, what makes somebody angry? I need a psychiatrist here. Obstacles that they can't over to them being able to
control
the world, empower the world. I once saw a cartoon or a byline that said frustration is a function of expectation. If I don't have any expectations, I will never be frustrated. That's true about anger too. Anger is essentially a reflection of the fact that I feel that I need to be in control, that I have a certain expectation of what the result should be, whether it's in an immediate circumstances or whether in a global circumstances. I have a picture of what should happen. And when it doesn't, when people don't behave the way I expect them to behave, or when the circumstances that I'm trying to control don't exactly come the way I want them to be, my response is, I get angry. Chazal talk about anger as a function of idolatry. Chazal compare anger to idolatry. Chazal say that there's one characteristic that a person should stay away from at all costs. And that's anger. The person who gets angry is as if they've worshipped idols. Numerous, numerous expressions about anger that appears in the Gemara. The Rambam codifies it in the Halacha. Why? What's the relationship between anger and idolatry? Develop that idea for a second. Why is anger, why somebody gets angry equivalent to somebody who worships idols? It's a harsh statement to make.
Think you're in control and you're worshiping yourself.
Because anger is a reflection of the sentiment that I'm in control. But I'm not in control. The whole point of the concept of God for us is that God is in control. We're not. So if a person gets angry because things didn't happen the way they expected them to happen, they wanted them to happen, they're perceiving themselves as being in control of the world. Says the Chacham, my dear Amal, I got news for you. You're not in control of this world. And you never will be. You can try. But you want to fix this world? You want to perfect this world? This world is full of imperfection. And you can't change them. Therefore, what should you do? Learn to accept them. Tov erech ruach, mikvar ruach. A little bit of patience, humility would do you some good. Don't be so angry all the time. And his entire speech to the Amal is all about anger. Don't be quick to anger. Anger is the bosom of fools. Don't say, oh, the good old days. That's not a statement made from wisdom. And ultimately, his greatest shtuch, if you will. Remember what a shtuch is? What do you know what a shtuch is? I can't translate a shtuch, I'm sorry. I can't even. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Re'e et ma'aseh Elokim. Ki mi yuchal letaken et asher ivto. Look at the deeds of man, of God. You can fix that which God made crooked. Now, let's understand that for a second. What is it about this world that the Amal tried to fix? Partially. Partially. But let's make that let's expand that. What frustrated the Amal more than anything else? What irked the Amal? What foiled all his plans?
Death.
Constantly foiled his plans. Death. Doesn't have an heir. Doesn't have an heir. Has an heir. Doesn't want to leave it to an heir. Doesn't have more than whatever it is. But it constantly revolved around the question of death. So to the Amal, there's something wrong in this world. What's wrong? Death. Says the Chacham, my dear friend, mi yuchal l'taken et asher ivto. You know who made death in this world? God. You think you're going to fix it? God made a mistake, and you are going to fix it? You can't fix that which God corrupted. That's the Chacham. The Amal tried to conquer death. The Nehenet tried to ignore death. The Amal tried to conquer death. I have no idea what the Yirei Elokim does with death. We haven't seen that yet. I know what the Nehenet did, and I know what the Amal did. And now I know what the Chacham does. He says to the Amal and to the Nehenet, learn to live with it. Re'e Maseh Elokim. Look at God's deeds. What did God do? He created a world with imperfection. Live with it. Then he turns to the Yirei Elokim, and he pulls out the whip. And what does he say to the Yirei Elokim? The Yirei Elokim is his philosophy is one of talking about the partnership. He wants to let the human being develop to its maximum potential, not conquer the world, and not accept the world, but to develop the partnership and to perfect the human being. Says the Chacham, my dear Yirei Elokim, is the human being so perfect? Is the human being so perfect? To the Nehenet, to the Amal, the ultimate imperfection is death. To the Yirei Elokim, the ultimate imperfection is chet. Says to the Yirei Elokim, are you so perfect? You haven't cursed people yet in your life. Of course you have. Get out of your ivory tower. Escape from your little bubble. Look at the real world. And in the real world, yesh tzaddik oved b'tzidko, v'yesh rasha ma'arich b'ra'ato. There are righteous who suffer, and there are wicked who prosper, and there are wicked who self-destruct, and there are righteous who live in their ivory towers for the rest of their lives. It's the real world. And in such a world, what should you do? Balance. It's all about balance. Learn to live in balance. A little bit of tzidkus, a little bit of rishus. Balance. Works for me, says the Chacham. Sum up the Chacham in one word. In one word.
Compromiser.
Acceptance. Realist. All correct. The word I like most is resignation. Resign yourself. The realities of the world. Resign yourself to the realities of the world. The realities of death, the realities of imperfection, the realities of evil, the realities all around us. Take a snapshot of the world and try to figure out how to fit that reality. Instead of trying to transform the reality into what I believe or want it to be, the Chacham said, I'm going to analyze this world and I'm going to match what I see. And in Pasuk of Gimel, the responder says to the Amalek, to the Chacham, Amarti achkama vihirachokam. I thought I was going to look at wisdom. But if that's wisdom, I want no part of it. Bezrat Hashem, next week we will deal with a fate worse than death.